Hey, everybody, and happy Monday to you. Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in today to listen to us chat about women succeeding in style, their own personal style, and really finding their own power and force through the process and enjoying the journey and learning along the way. And I have two fabulous guests for you today to talk about their stories of starting their own business and how they were able to overcome hardships and survive and really create something fantastic. So first up is Judy Gerhardt, who is a former political powerhouse, a survivor of two hurricanes, a nasty divorce, chemo, and a spinal tumor. My goodness. After her surgery and deciding that she'd had enough hurricanes, she moved back to Atlanta from New Orleans. This was after Katrina. In August 2009, Judy launched Career Fashion Consignment, CFC, which is an extremely high-end career clothing consignment store for men and women in Atlanta. Judy is committed to social and financial responsibility in helping Atlanta's business community benefit from the retail excess of the last decade. What a fantastic mission. Welcome, Judy Gerhardt, to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm so happy to have you here. So I want you to tell me a little bit more about your story. I mean, you were one of the first Maynard Jackson campaign managers when he made his bid for mayor, making him the first African-American mayor of a southern city in Atlanta. Such an interesting background you have. Tell me a little bit about your story and how, you know, you've come here.
Well, to clarify that, I wish I had been in his first campaign. I was Maynard's deputy campaign manager when he ran at his second term.
Gotcha.
And not the first time out.
Okay.
But his last bid in the 80s, I was his deputy campaign manager. I had come to Atlanta from the University of Alabama and worked in several businesses here locally, like Rich's, et cetera, but became very interested in Atlanta politics. And it is such an inviting atmosphere politically here in Atlanta for everybody to get involved in.
Right.
It was easy for me to get involved. And I was very fortunate to work with some really great people, Maynard, Congressman John Lewis, locally State Senator Nan Orrock, John Sweet, some local city council people. And from that experience, I went to Washington, D.C. right after Maynard's election and stayed there for a while and then met my future husband. We moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, and I set up a business there in 91-92.
Okay.
And stayed there. We traveled around the world. I was very fortunate. And then in 05, here comes Hurricane Katrina and basically demolished my business of 16 years.
Oh, my goodness. That must have been devastating.
It was.
Talk about what it took to really pick up the pieces and move forward.
Well, it picking up the pieces, it was more like just wading through the pieces. And there was, you know, there's really a dynamic when one goes through this, because it's not affect just one person and what my story is, because I was just one of millions of people that
right.
were affected. And in a lot of ways, I was more fortunate than most. So I stayed. I was going to stay and be part of the rebuilding recovery effort. And that's when I began to build the business model that I'm currently in now, which is to my focus being on recycle, repurpose, reuse. And what better way than with consignment? I investigated the industry and found that it was a double-digit growth industry for the last several years. And so I wanted to niche it into the career clothing industry, identifying that a career image is more of a business tool than it is basically a fashionista statement, that one needs
right.
In this competitive environment to look professional in order to succeed. So that was sort of the genesis of my reinvention from what I was doing before
okay.
Katrina and after.
That's interesting. So you got started in the business. It sounds like you did a lot of research and in figuring out really where you wanted to.
Well, Well, I think that's important
niche
in any
company.
Business adventure or venture is to really assess the state of a business model or an industry or whatever. And then, as all the books tell you and everything, identify whether your nature, your personality is suited for that particular industry. And can you do that? Not just financially, but emotionally and your nature.
Right.
So I was very eager to get into this. And as a socially, I call myself a social entrepreneur. My previous life in politics always gives me an edge in terms of looking at the social responsibility of doing a business.
So tell me, what do you do? What exactly is the business model? How does it work?
Well, what it is if their consignment is when someone brings in something they own and they basically pay the consignee to sell it for them. So the person still owns the item, whatever, until
right.
it's sold, and then the consignor gets a portion of the sales price.
Okay.
In this particular instance, it's career clothes, and it's upscale career clothes for men and women.
So who does career fashion consignment really serve? Who are your customers?
Well, basically anyone from their 20s to their 60s who needs to dress professionally for any occasion, and that could be on a day-to-day basis. And the dress codes are different from industry to industry. I am focused mostly on the more traditional suits or financing, banking, that kind of industry where you have to wear
Class A office space attire.
Exactly. What they call, and this is important in terms of historically how people relate to the clothes, and it's a white collar versus blue collar. So I'm in the white collar sort of industry.
Right. And I'm sure that it's probably also interesting to see how trends have changed over time and what is career.
Well,
wear.
And that's another dynamic which invited me to be more focused within the professional world, is because in the professional world, the fads do not change that drastically from year to year. That a suit is still a suit. The power colors in business are still black, navy blue, dark gray, and white. And so that really
right.
doesn't change. There
those
few
core
dynamics.
Items
exactly.
that you've got to have in your closet.
Exactly.
And they say to buy high-end quality pieces that are going to last.
Exactly. That's why the labels I choose and natural fibers is more indicative of the durability of the item and being able to use it. It, you get a better cost per wear on it, those kind of things.
So where can people go to find out more? Or
well, I have
if
a
they
website.
Shop.
They want to come and see me in the store, I'd love to have them. We're at Bennett Street, which has been around for a long time. We're between Piedmont Hospital and Houston's Restaurant off of Peachtree
okay.
in Buckhead. And our website is www.careerfashionconsignment.com.
Fantastic. Judy, you've had some big roadblocks that you've faced in your career at various points. Tell me a little bit about how you overcame them.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to always keep my perspective, is that no matter what, it could always be worse. That's simplistic it may seem, but it always gives me sort of a better perspective in thinking that no matter what happens, things could always be worse. And I look toward life as a survivor, not as a victim. That's why when Katrina hit, when I went through the surgeries and everything, I felt that I was not a victim, that I take responsibility for the choices I make. And I think that's real important for
that
anybody to succeed.
All the difference in the world, right, how you choose to mm-hmm. see the situation. Really very inspiring. Are there things that, I mean, having gone through what you've gone through, you know, your perspective on life and, you know, gratitude for each day kind of thing, what are the things that you do in your life to continue to be able to be at peace having gone through all of that?
Well, I think one thing is really my friends are very important, you know, people that, and also being outside of myself. When, you know, when we get too personal about things, oh, this is, you know, about me, it's really not. Things that happen are not necessarily, you know, particularly not about any one person. It's just circumstances. I believe that While we can't control our circumstances, we can always control our responses to our circumstances.
That's powerful. That is really powerful stuff. So you also have aimed at making the business green. I mean, obviously, by its nature, consignment is a green mm-hmm. business. We're talking about recycling, repurposing. Tell me some of the most interesting green facts about your business.
Well, I think I mentioned earlier that we reuse these high quality clothes because they have a long durability and they can be used over and over again. And most of the people that have had them or bring them in have taken care of them, and it reduces the footprint in terms of the materials that are collected, in terms of waste and throwing this stuff out and not being used. I've heard so many times that manufacturers will actually tear things up if they don't get sold and toss them, as opposed to recirculating
really?
Them. Yes, there are many manufacturers.
What a waste.
It is. There are many manufacturers that do that, like Chanel. Will, if something doesn't sell, they will actually rip it up and throw it away, as opposed to just letting it get out there and be recycled.
That's interesting. Well, you talk about using consignment as a way of getting a return on your fashion investment.
Yeah, I think the value is not just to the shopper who's looking for a bargain, but it's also people that have bought the clothes get a bit of a return on what they've invested in their clothes, and therefore they can use that investment and sort of recycle that again, use that return to go get more clothes.
Right, and continue to invest
exactly.
in high-end quality pieces.
And when you buy and when you literally purchase, if you know that there's this opportunity that once you've used it or whatever, if you keep it in good, then you're already getting a discount right up front, knowing that there's another place down the road for you to recycle.
That's going to buy it in 2 years when
right,
you
right.
have
so,
grown tired
it's sort of that long-term discount.
That is interesting. Well, and I find that women tend to think so much more in terms of the long-term, you know, return
yeah.
on investment, both in, you know, in how they spend their money as
right.
well as in how they build their business. Because,
exactly.
you know, sort of by nature, we have that long-term view on things. And it's funny because I've had a number of image consultants here on the show at various times, and we've talked a little bit about the importance of your image and cultivating your own style.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a little bit on the impact of nonverbal communication, but I want to hear more about, you know, what are some of the things that that people notice in terms of professional dress, and why is that important?
Well, I think of nonverbal communication is a group of elements, and it's more than just your
what
you're wearing. It has to do with your body language and those kind of elements. And what you speak in non-verbally comprises about, and science has documented, anywhere from 50% to 80% of how you're perceived in the first few minutes of when you meet someone. And
right, those statistics are always astonishing.
They are.
Our culture focuses so much on what we actually say, you know, what's coming out of someone's mouth.
Exactly.
But in reality, the impression that's being formed is coming from all this nonverbal stuff. So what is the nonverbal stuff?
Well, you have your, you obviously have your artifactual, which is what is considered your image, what you're wearing, your clothes, those kind of things. You have your voice tone, whether it's, you know, your voice how it's squeaky or whatever, or loud, not, you know, shy or whatever. You have body language. And so those things come together when you're meeting someone. Obviously, someone listening to us over the radio is making a certain impression, and probably it would be different if they were to see us. And, you know, because our biological imperatives, and, you know, this goes way, way back, how we are just wired, hardwired
right, as human beings
to move about in the world and interact with each other, is that there's so much unconscious communication going on between people, and, you know, we're so caught up in the thought that it's the words or it's the fanciness of how we've got on, but there's a lot more going on. And I think more than anything, I try to emphasize that to to everyone, women particularly, because there's so many associations that women give off and they don't mean to. And I think what happens is where the communication breaks off, and you've heard the sort of the cliches is that you hear somebody say something, but you just don't believe them. And it's
right.
not necessarily the words. The words may be totally accurate, but their body language is saying something totally different. And that could be either because they're not really telling the truth or because their pants are too tight or there's something itching under their clothes or something. And so they're dealing
right.
with that and saying one thing, and it comes across that inconsistency
Absolutely.
Can really hurt
right.
you're, what you're trying
you're like,
to say.
Well, it made sense, but something about it just wasn't quite right. I don't think I want to go with that.
A lot
person.
Of people call that a gut feeling when they meet somebody. And so I think if people are more aware of that and really become aware not only of other people's nonverbal communication, that also helps them realize, well, what am I saying? What is my body saying? What are my clothes saying? As well as what are my words saying? And that doesn't mean that you can dress really well and all this and still say rubbish, because it's not going to work
right.
either. But it the impact of what you're saying can be diluted if there's a dissonance between what you're saying and how your body is reacting and how you look.
Interesting. And you actually just taught a class on some of this nonverbal communication at University of Alabama, right?
I was invited. Professor Cashman, a dear mentor, and I graduated from the University of Alabama, invited me back. He has a business honors class of young juniors, and mostly in the business, finance, accounting disciplines. And we sat and had a nice conversation. I tried to expose them to the information out there available and how important it is, particularly as a young person in the competitive job market, how they present themselves in interviews and talking with industry representatives, job fairs, et cetera, how important it is. Because a lot of kids young people will think, well, how am I going to differentiate myself from other people? And they try to
right.
do it with dress, and that's really not the appropriate way to do it. You know, coming
not
in
at
with
that
something.
Stage in the game.
Exactly.
Get, you know, good 10, 15 years of solid career
exactly.
work under your belt before you start breaking out the leopard print in the job interview or something.
Exactly. So I try to emphasize that it's not a compromise to look like part of the industry. And the mm-hmm. best homework they can do is to become familiar with what the industry expects one to look like in order to be a part of the team.
Now, at what point do you think, because as you evolve as a professional, mm-hmm. and you do, we talk about, you know, finding your own style. And I agree, when you're first starting out in your career, it is sort of about fitting in and, you know, showing that you're committed to that organization's mm-hmm. culture and you want to be a part of that. Being an entrepreneur is a little bit different, though. It's like, I'm doing my own thing. I'm ready to break out and maybe break some of the traditional mm-hmm. rules. How has that journey been, you know, interesting for you? Or have you felt that way as you've struck out on your own?
Well, actually, because of this particular niche, which is career clothes, I've tried to represent that as I step out. Every time I step out, the consistency of how I look is very important. And the comments are, it reinforces that. People that I say, you always look professional. You always do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know, and I'm very aware of that, as every time I walk out of the house, where I'm going, who I'm going to see, if I'm going to represent my business, I have to look the part. And I don't feel like I'm diminishing my capacity by looking like everybody else in a white shirt with a dark suit or something like that. I feel like where I come across as a unique individual is in my capacity to speak with people, how I talk to people, the information I give.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, this current path, you've had so many different paths along your career. It's so in alignment with, I think, who you are, and that's why it comes through so powerfully. So we have our next guest now on the phone, and we're going to bring her into the conversation. Karen Robinovich is an emerging business owner. Karen launched a beauty brand called Purple Lab. The website is purplelabnyc.com in small high-end boutiques last May. And this month they were just, or no, actually, I think it was last month. I'll ask.
It was on the Home Shopping Network with five new products. So it's a makeup line. Karen is all about overcoming fear and taking risks, and has experienced also a lot of personal growth as her business has grown. So I'm very excited to welcome Karen Robinovich to the Chic Perspective Show. Karen,
hi.
How you doing?
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk with you. I also have Judy Gerhart here with me in the studio, and we're talking about her company, Career Fashion Consignment. So tell me about Purple Lab, Karen.
Purple Lab is a new beauty brand. It's really fun and sexy and also really science-forward and efficacious at the same time. It is all about double-duty beauty. So every single product has multiple benefits, but all with a very, very much of a sense of humor. I mean, I was a journalist in my previous life, and I also consulted for some of the biggest names in beauty. And when I kind of decided to create my own brand, I thought about what was missing in the market, and I felt like brands were either really serious, but then I would find them really boring, or they were really fun, but they didn't work. So Purple
right.
Lab is about marrying both of those worlds, and we're available on HSN.
Yeah, so how did you make that happen? And what?
Oh, my gosh. There was not...
That's a pretty big step.
Yeah, it was pretty enormous. It took me 2 years from the idea of the first product, which is how the brand was really born, to go from there to being on a shelf. And then it took a little less than a year for me to sort of break into the HSN world, which was my goal from day one. And it's, you know, I don't know, it's a mix of a lot of things coming together at the right time, and having first met the CEO of HSN through mutual friends at my friend's one-year-old birthday party, and then
A little women-to-women networking.
Yes, it's all about that. And then basically my husband and I put our entire life savings, when I tell you everything, like everything, into this. And when we were at the point where we were raising money and literally like $58.22 left in the bank, wound up finding business partners who are not just investors. I mean, they're really partners. They are huge names in the industry. They own many brands already that are tremendously successful on HSN. And then I think coming back into HSN with them behind us really kind of gave us that mark of approval that
I think that
I didn't have on my own, to be honest, because I was coming with, you know, people who've been doing it for 30, 40, 50, 60 years.
Okay, so I am so blown away by what you've been able to do here. This is fantastic. I want to know, how do you think your background as a journalist has helped you? Because it sounds like you've taken some pretty gutsy moves.
Yeah, I don't think I could have done anything that I'm doing now without having had every step of my career, which started as, like I said, a journalist, where I really now, like, I understand the media. I understand what makes a story. How do you capture an editor's attention, knowing that editors see thousands of things a week and are being contacted around the clock by everybody? How do you cut through that clutter? How do you grab their attention? How does a product make a story rather than just being another product? You know, what is my point of difference? How do I create a brand that has packaging that stands out and deliver something that I know they haven't seen before? So kind of having that experience and knowing from firsthand what it's like to receive a million things at a time, that's
right.
What gave me the sense of creating something that I've created with Purple Lab. And then from there, I wound up, you know, doing a lot of television over the years, E! And VH1 and MTV and morning shows, CNN, Fox News. So I had kind of that TV side, and I was media trained. And then I became a marketing consultant and worked with beauty and fashion brands across all of their marketing strategies, from traditional to the social media space. And really all of those things together is what I believe enables me to do this brand. Otherwise, I would have had a piece of, you know, information missing from what I know. What I don't know is, I am not the numbers girl. You don't want me crunching numbers because I honestly will bankrupt the company. I'm smart enough to know that that's not my talent.
And that is a huge gift to know where, you know, your limitations lie and to be restrained enough not to go there. And so what have you done knowing that?
Well, my husband is a really smart, self-made entrepreneur. So he really runs that back end. And we have business partners now who he's almost like that business liaison between, if you call, like, I'd be, you know, God, the lead singer. And but I couldn't go on stage without having all of those people behind me.
Right, exactly. Realizing that, you know, you're running a whole band here in order to
exactly.
really pull off the show. That's awesome. So you guys are doing a lot with social media. You're on Twitter and Facebook. Tell me a little bit about how social media has played a role in being able to get some buzz and growth.
You know, social media for me is the best way to really connect with whether it's just consumers or other people who love beauty, who love fashion, who love style, who are business-minded, who appreciate marketing, et cetera, and talk to them directly to really hear what is it that they are responding to, what do they want, what do they like. We put out there everything in a very, very behind-the-scenes fashion. I'm sharing very personal things on my blog about how I've created a business. I'm sharing the mistakes I've made, hoping that women who are reading this won't fall into some of the same trappings that I fell into, and they can learn from my mistakes. I'm really open to every single email, every single comment that is made. We do everything from contests, and not just within Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, we just did a great contest on a site called Closet Couture where we had women creating head-to-toe looks inspired by our products, because I'm a believer in crossing fashion and beauty. You don't have to be one or the other. I mean, Purple Lab to me is a lifestyle, not necessarily just about a lip gloss or a blush or a foundation.
Right. Well, and I love that it's rooted in something so much deeper. That's what really makes it powerful and creates kind of that emotional connection with the consumer and that bond. I want to ask how you were able to overcome some of the fear that you ran up against. I mean, being down to like $50 in the bank account, that's really scary. What was it that made you able to keep going and, you know, maintain that belief that I am going to make this happen, this is going to work, I can do it?
You know, I think I just, in my heart, I knew that I would literally die if I didn't try or do it. There was no other answer for me. This was my next step in my life and in my career, and if it meant putting having children on hold for a while, even though I am at the age where I shouldn't be putting children on hold, if it meant, oh wow, I can't buy a home now, if it meant I'm going to struggle and kind of be in a position that I haven't been in a long time financially, you know, I haven't had to struggle in this way, you know, for so many years, because, you know, I'm 38 years old, I've been at work.
Right, collecting a regular paycheck.
Exactly. Like, I just said, this is worth every risk. I'd rather fall on my face and fail than just not try. And one day when I have children, I need to be the example for them to say, you can do anything. Look what mommy and daddy did. We are living proof that you should take a risk and go after your passion. And I don't think I could have been able to look somebody in the face and been able to make that recommendation if I didn't do it myself. And like I said, there was really no other choice for me. There was nothing else I'd want to do right now.
That's really awesome. Well, I find your story very inspiring, Karen, and I can't wait to try out the products because they look fantastic as well. And I love the idea of multiple benefits.
Thank you.
That was a really great niche to tackle, and I wish you much success. So we are almost out of time here on the show. I always like to ask my guests if they would share one chic tip with our audience as far as a lesson that they've learned along the way, one lesson learned chic tip of wisdom. So actually, I'm going to start here in the studio with Judy. Judy, what's your chic tip for our listeners today? And hasn't this been a fun show?
It has. I can't wait to get and see Purple Lab on the web and see what that's about. But I would say, and getting back to the nonverbal, which I think is all about, and the best way to give off the most powerful impact nonverbally is to feel comfortable with yourself. And until you feel comfortable with yourself, everything is going to show up.
That's big. You're right. That's a really big one. Okay, Karen, you're up now.
Well,
what's your
I'm a little
tip?
Mad because, of course, I was going to say basically the same thing. I want to seem like a copycat, but mine is just feel good in, like, you know, be confident. If you, even if you have to almost fake it to yourself, the minute you start saying that inner voice in your head, I can't do it, or I don't think I can, or what if I fail, that's the minute you won't do it. Like, when you hear that little voice, you just say, thank you for sharing, now shut up. And you do it. And you do it and believe, like, even if you have to act like you believe in yourself, because I really think that the rest will follow once you put yourself out there in that way.
That's fantastic. All right, folks, you heard it here. Get out there and do it. Then believe you can. Silence that naysayer, little voice in your head, and have that confidence to move forward. So I want to thank both of my guests once again, Judy Gerhart of Career Fashion Consignment and Karen Rubinovich of Purple Lab. I'll have both of their websites up on our podcast of this episode. And if you'd like to check out more Chic Perspectives, be sure and go to businessradiox.com and click on the Chic Perspectives show. Until next time, wishing you all chic success. Mm-hmm.